we've all had a chip on our shoulders at some point in our lives. You know, when you just feel that you've been dealt a bad hand and the world, well, the world owes you something. Problem is, it doesn't. And the longer we sit in the corner and sulk, the worse it's going to get. Bernie Diamond, and it's just fabulous to be back with you again today as we take another look at pride from a different perspective. And do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about the powerful prayer that could be coming your way to help you through whatever you happen to be dealing with in your life just at the moment. There's an advertisement running on TV at the moment, where I live, for a well-known brand of cosmetics. And they show a woman pampering her skin and putting makeup on and all that stuff, a typical cosmetics commercial. You can all look like me if only you'll part with your hard-earned cash and buy this brand of makeup. Now, the punchline for this ad is this: because you're worth it. Now, this particular company's been using that same punchline in different ads for quite a few years now. And hey, there's nothing wrong at all with advertising your product and getting people to buy it. But it's the punchline, because you're worth it, that seems to me almost a motto for today's consumer generations. It seems that more and more we're developing an attitude that we're worth it. You and I, we deserve it. The world owes us something. There are so many people wandering around planet Earth with the attitude, the world owes me something. It owes me a living. It owes me this. It owes me that. And why not? Isn't that what we're being told on TV and through the media? Over these past few weeks, we've been looking at this whole thing about how to get over ourselves so we can live a life that really counts. Well, if we're going to get over ourselves, then probably we're going to need to deal with this I'm worth it, I deserve it, the world owes it to me attitude. Don't you think? I spent 20 years in the corporate world, jetting around all over the world, some weeks in three or four or five different places. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but Australia is a long way from anywhere. 14 hours from Sydney to Los Angeles, 24 hours plus from Sydney to London, a long way. And so when I was working for a petrochemical giant in Rotterdam, or consulting for a firm in Chicago, or the international agency in Singapore, or jetting off to a meeting in Kuala Lumpur, I invariably flew business class, wider seats, more legroom, good food, good service. You know what? Here's what I thought. I worked hard. I was doing these people a favour. International travel on business is tough. It's hard work. When you land there on the other side of the world, you have to go straight into a meeting. And I thought to myself, you know something? I deserve it. I used to tell myself as I sat upstairs in the 747, I am worth it. Wonder how all the poor people down there are doing in economy, like sardines packed in. Well, these days, since I went into full-time ministry and there aren't large corporates or governments paying my way, I found out how the poor people, the sardines, are doing down there in economy, because I'm one of them. And as much as flying business class makes a lot of sense when you're on a brutal schedule, travelling a lot and working hard, I mean, it really does make sense. That's a luxury that's no longer available to me. I'm over it now, but when I first had to make the transition from my corporate jet-setting business class lifestyle to an economy seat down the back of the plane, something interesting happened. I discovered something in my heart that God had to deal with, and it was this selfish, prideful attitude of I'm worth it. It's not so much that traveling in business class or first class is wrong or immoral. It's the heart attitude that builds up inside us, the pride, the sense that we're better than all those plebs down the back. That's what's wrong. So here's the thing. This I'm worth it pride thing pops up in the most unexpected places. It can pop up when we're driving our car on the road. It can pop up when we're trying to team up to do something together with our family or at work. And it rears its head in a way that's, well, completely unexpected. I frankly never imagined that when I first started flying economy again, that I would have this attitude to deal with. That's because the shroud of self that covers our hearts is opaque. It's there, but we don't notice it. And even if we do, we're pretty good, you and I, at rationalizing it away. And this whole I'm worth it, the world owes me, I'm better than you attitude is one way in which the self manifests selfishness into our lives. I wonder how effective I will be in ministering God's love into your heart if I come across as thinking that I'm better than you. Unless I get over myself, unless I'm prepared to use myself as a bad example in the illustration on the program, unless I'm prepared to be real with you, what right do I have to share the love of Christ with you? Well, and that's the point. This attitude that the world owes me is like a brick wall when it comes to me having an impact in your life or you having an impact in my life. It completely immobilizes us. No matter what great gifts and abilities and talents we might have, this stinking attitude switches them off. That's why we need to get over ourselves. And what's the answer? Well, here it is. Paul the Apostle wrote it down in a letter to his dear friends at a church in a place called Philippi. You can read this in the book of Philippians in the New Testament, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. He says, "If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from my love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, then make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Don't do anything from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, didn't regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but instead he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in a human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." Now, isn't that powerful? Jesus is the Son of God, yet he humbles himself by becoming a man and to the point of death on a cross for you and me. And all Paul's saying here is, be like that. The world doesn't owe you anything. You may well be worth it, but lay it down anyway. Let's bring that back down to something real and tangible. Let's bring that down to Bernie flying yet again on a long flight, squashed up in the back of the plane. When I get on that plane and walk straight past the stairs that go upstairs to business class, what do I feel? Well, here's how it goes. My flesh, the old Bernie, still tugs away at me and says, "Why are you doing this? You deserve the comfort of upstairs. Look at how hard you're working." You see, the flesh doesn't die easily. It always screams out, always tries to survive. But the new man in me, the one that was born again through Jesus Christ, you know what? He smiles, he laughs, he rejoices. Yeah, it's uncomfortable down the back. Yeah, I have to start work the moment I hit the ground in LA or in London, wherever I'm going. But you know something? I, in my own little way, I'm learning to be Jesus. I'm doing this for him. And frankly, if I had to row across the ocean, I'd do that too. For me, it is a great joy to have learned this lesson. And with you, it may not be flying around the world. Your circumstances might be quite different. But whatever it is that makes you rise up and think, I'm worth it, the world owes me, whatever it is for you, I so want to encourage you to lay it down. I so want to encourage you to get over yourself, because in that place of surrender, a peace and a joy happen, and they're so sweet, so worth it. It's time for you and me just to get over ourselves, don't you think? Before I go, I'd just like to remind you that if you have a prayer need, we would absolutely love to pray for you, because the only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. Just let that sink in. The only sort of prayer the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. So if you'd like us to pray with you, in fact, if you'd like our whole prayer community to pray with you, stop by online at powerfulprayer.org to share your prayer request. It's completely confidential. Your name won't be displayed. And in fact, while you're there, perhaps you could pray for one or two others as well and leave them a word or two of encouragement. You can be such a mighty blessing to so many others by supporting them in prayer. God's word says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So please allow us to pray for you and with you. And let's just see what God does, how he intervenes, how he chooses to bless you. That web address again is powerfulprayer.org. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.